Okay, everyone, welcome to our TDC Connected meeting for Wednesday, April 6th. I think we have a really good agenda today. We're going to talk about what people are doing and what they have been doing over the last year to year and a half regarding their marketing efforts. I know some areas of the country, I want to say like Atlanta or Georgia, I think, kind of opened up really early. And guys were able to get back into offices and start marketing or market in whatever ways that they could. And some areas I know out here in California, some of the other areas were a little late to do it. So what we're going to just talk about is what people have been doing over the last year plus in their marketing, what they changed, what's working for them, what's kind of being allowed out there in the field. I think everything's pretty much opening up now, but we're going to get some good feedback from you guys on that. I know in just locally what we experienced and from what I've heard from some people over at Shine that I spoke with was that they pretty much furloughed most of their in-field sales service. So those reps that were walking into the offices incessantly and just picking up the hand pieces and creating competition for you guys and gals have had at least gone away for a large part of last year. And knowing corporate America, they're going to be very slow to hire those people back and have them back in the field basically competing with you guys. So there's kind of been an opportunity or a window. We gained customers here organically just through the fact that, you know, people had our information here locally from the rep that we had marketing prior to the shutdown, and we gained customers just through the fact that a sales rep, a Shine sales rep, or a Patterson sales rep was no longer walking in their office, and all of a sudden we started getting customers that we hadn't had before and hadn't even marketed to recently. We had marketed to them in the past, obviously. That's why they had our information and had kept it, luckily. But I'd like to hear from some of you guys if you had some of those organic customers come to you kind of out of the blue a little bit. Also, I know that the dental shows have started opening back up again. We've got a big one here in Anaheim, just about 20 minutes north of us. They are having that one again this year coming up. I know across the country a lot of those have been opening up. I don't know if Ben Nafis is on the call, but I think he was doing a smaller, kind of a local, small dental meeting either this week or next week. So those are even opening back up from what I've heard. So I think there's an opportunity for everybody because the competition level, I believe, especially with the big guys, the dental supply companies and manufacturers, is way down as far as their representation in the field. So there's probably a real good opportunity there, whether you wanted to walk in and kind of present yourself again to them or even just get on the phone and make a call to some of those offices that you'd like to get. So, but what I'd like to do is invite somebody to talk about, you know, what they've done different. I'd like to start with Joff, if you're still on the line, Joff, and kind of, because I know you guys just did a big dental convention, and I'd love to hear how the response was, how the attendance was, if you guys got, you know, X amount of customers or think you have, and just see, you know, what the response was from, you know, the convention compared to years past. Are you available, Joff?
Yes, I'm here.
Can you talk to us about the Hinman and how that went and who you did it with and just kind of the experience there?
Sure. We did Hinman last year for the first time. It was not that well attended, but we did pretty well picking up several dentists, and it was less expensive. This year it was full price, and we split it with Monty Bruner and Bailey Tucker, and then Carl came for one day too to kind of see what we were doing, and we had real good response. I think we probably talked to over 100, maybe 150 dentists, and probably another 300 staff members, and unlike a lot of the ones we've done in the past, they kind of sought us out. They had questions why things were breaking, and so that was kind of neat. We do always give a basket away of some sort of gift to try to get them to come by, but it was well attended. We were pleased. I got a notification from them. They had 12,000 attendees, I think there was like 2,000 or 3,000 dentists. So it's a pretty big show. Monty and I in the past have done, they have a summer meeting, the Georgia Dental Association. And then there's another association called the Georgia Academy of General Dentistry. We do a couple of things with them. And then one of my better meetings was Last Chance CE for the Georgia Dental Association. I think I picked up 10 or 12 dentists from that show, and I picked up Monty probably 4 to 6 as well. And it was almost all of them were dentists that were there. And with the CEs, they have us outside, and you know, just like everybody else, they get bored of being in the classroom. So if you have a reason for them to come by, they seem to want to talk and kind of pick things up. There's a guy that's in my local area that I've been by his office 20 times. He's never used me. He finally, after he got to talk to me, used me. And so they cost a little bit of money, but I find they really pay off. And last year, I didn't call on any new customers because of the size that I've got now. I called on my existing customers, and I just did this, and my sales grew 20%. And I don't really have time to do the sales calls that I used to do. But I find this may be more efficient and less expensive.
So you grew by 20%, and all you did was call in your existing customer base and do those two shows, the Last Chance CE meeting and then the Hinman?
Well, I did 4 shows, 3 hygienist meetings, and a study club besides those. So.
Did you gain customers from those hygienist and study club meetings?
The study club meeting, I got like one. It wasn't that expensive. But the hygienist meetings, I picked up a lot of I picked up mostly instrument retipping and sharpening. And then I picked up a couple of handpiece repair accounts as well. Because you'll find in a few offices, or at least I do here, that they have a hygienist in charge of the repairs, even though a lot of them is dental assistants. So I spoke to a couple of the people that were in charge of repairs too. And those only cost $200 here. And it's usually like on a Saturday from 7 in the morning to like 2 in the afternoon.
So it's just a Saturday.
What, Dave and Geoff?
Yeah.
Can you give a little bit of how you go about finding some of these random groups like that, because I know I spoke to Dave earlier about that too. We've had a little bit of success, but how you find like a hygienist society or groups like that, if there's an easy centralized way to do that?
Well, the hygienist meetings, there's a hygienist association, and each state that has an association will have a website, and then they do CEs for their members and guests. They have an annual show, and it's more expensive, and that one I've never done well with, but I do well with the little shows, and I give away a margarita basket, and then they give us 3 slides and a little bit of talking time, and I go over kind of the maintenance items that they want to avoid, and, you know, most all of them like to use Kevicide wipes on their hand pieces, and so and then when they see the margarita basket, they usually, because a lot of people don't give things away, and I find that gets them over to talk to you. And usually when you get but the other meetings, like our Georgia Dental Association has a calendar of things that go on. And once you start getting involved with them, they want you to come. And then a lot of times your dentists are running these associations, so they feel kind of loyal to you to use you, knowing that you're supporting their group. And a lot of times if I'm not working with somebody, they'll bring them over to me.
Nice. Larger scale, like the larger associations. But so for some of these smaller ones, you might find it on your state association site, or if you do a search by any specialties.
Well, the hygienist meetings are on a calendar on their website, but like the study clubs, you kind of have to be lucky to get, because they're kind of they're picky about just letting anybody come in. Some of them are. And if you have endodontist or periodontist, a lot of times they'll run a study club to get referrals from their dentist, and those are good people to, if you've got a good relationship with one, they're either running one or going and helping somebody with, and that a lot of times they can turn some stuff up for you.
So basically, if you have some of those customers, just kind of ask if they belong to any study clubs or things like that and go from there?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. And then those CE, like there's a dental college in Augusta, Georgia, and they have four or five meetings you can go to. But if you don't have one of those close to you, that might not work. But people are looking for the CEs, and a lot of times the CEs that are run by the dental associations are that's where the dentist actually will go get their CEs. Most of them don't like to learn. They were very excited about the one last fall because they were tired of learning online.
Scott, this is Monty. There is a Michigan Dental Hygienist Association. I looked it up while we were sitting here.
Well, nice. But
so,
it's more of a general question for, like, how to just find some of these niche, smaller groups if somebody has, obviously asking, you know, when you have customers on the phone, you can try to get some information and might stumble on some, but I didn't know what the best resource to find some of these, you know, smaller groups too.
When I get a relationship with a doctor that I get to talk to them, I'll ask them, or, you know, I'll tell them. I even sometimes stick a card in saying, yeah, for, you know, like a free handpiece repair or something. You know, we're interested in doing their study, because most of them are part of study clubs.
Yeah, okay.
A lot of them have, you know, you can buy the dinner for the club, which usually, you know, $100, $200, and you get in a room with 10 dentists. Definitely worth it. Second thing, Job mentioned about our raffle. We always have a little card that we get enough information with that we can contact them and, you know, send them a letter at least, or go by and see them. And sometimes they'll ask you to come by and see them. So on that raffle that he was talking about.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to start working it in when I'm talking to customers, just kind of asking if they belong to any study clubs or groups and go from there.
I was going to say the other thing, I'm sure Georgia Dental Association, they are also divided into, I think Georgia's in eight smaller territories, and they also have sectional meetings once a month, and it's also about CEs, but sometimes you can get in and sponsor their meetings too. I did that one time, and then they changed management, and they had a partiality to Henry Schein, evidently, so they wouldn't let me in anymore.
Shocking.
I was going to say something funny about the Hinman this year. Usually Henry Schein has this huge booth that's the size of about eight booths, and this year they had one that was the size of about two or three booths. So I don't know. They've changed, whatever reason, they've changed their strategy or something.
Well, it's not a bad thing.
They cut way back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So have you guys noticed maybe or whoever's been kind of going out in the field more, have you noticed less competition, or have you noticed that people are saying their reps don't come around anymore? Does anyone have any info on that?
And of course, I'm building a new territory, so I have to go out. This is Monty. And it's funny, I don't see a lot. It's funny, one day I walked in behind a guy it's funny how Henry Schein is still representing himself as Hayes and has Hayes representative out there. And I think they're fooling people, but everybody I talk to know, or most of them know. I let them know if they don't, but that Henry, you know, Hayes is Henry Schein. But they do have, and that's about the only one I'm trying to think. I actually run into Atlanta Dental guy. Of course, Atlanta Dental down here, they go around and Joff taught me this. I didn't know it, but they go around and they go to every office that they have as a customer every 10 days and go through and basically do an inventory for them or get an order, and they'll pick up hand pieces then. But the guy, I talked to the guy, and he said, look, I'll start recommending you. We don't, you know, he said, I have to pick these up and then ship them out. I don't make a cent off of them. So, but anyway, I've run into those two, and I'm in a lot of offices, right, especially this first.
That's awesome. Months. So you have the Atlanta Dental rep recommending you for dental handpiece repair?
He said he would. I've got to call him and meet him. I'm not sure how serious.
Maybe give him one of those margarita baskets.
Yeah. Well, we did a bourbon basket at the Hinman. He looked more like a bourbon guy. So.
That's an awesome idea. How much did the Hinman show cost? overall? I know you guys got to divide it like three or four ways.
Joff, you still there?
It was $3,700.
$3,700, and you got to divide it, what, three or four ways?
Yeah, I mean, we gave Carl a deal because he wasn't there that long, and then we split it up, and I got more referrals, so next year I may take on more of it. And then.
And did you get, I know you talked to 150 dentists and 300 staff members. Were you able to convert any of those to customers? Do you know?
I made sales of 2,300 in handpiece sales, but I feel like I will. Like the meeting that I did last summer with Cecil and Monty was in South Carolina. Only one customer came up and talked to me, and they didn't use me for quite a while. And then all of a sudden I got 17 handpieces in the mail, and I did like $3,000, and now it's going to be a $5,000 or $6,000 a year customer. And so what I find is it may take a little while before they use you or something's broken, but you've planted the seed and you're going to convert at least 50 to 60% of them in my experience so far.
And okay, so when you said you did 2,300 in handpiece sales, so those are potential customers as well. Was that one person that bought 2,300, or were there?
No, it was two different dentists that talked to me while I was there, and I sold them some refurbished stuff, some Choice Pro, and some different items. I had like an electric Kavo, and so I mean, I feel like that alone, I probably got my part of it out now, and I feel real strongly I'll get some other people, because these weren't just people grabbing cards and taking off. These were 2-3-5 minute conversations.
Okay, so when you talk to 150, that means you talked to them and got to give them your complete sales pitch and information and follow-up information.
Yes, exactly. So we feel real good about the ones that we got to talk to, because
okay.
You know, they don't have to stop. They can go right on by.
But, okay, so you're going to convert a lot. I know we used to do the show here in Anaheim, which is probably similar to the Hinman, although I thought it was huge, but it sounds like from what Monty was telling me about the Hinman, it might be even a little bit bigger. But we would consistently get, and we did it three times, and we consistently get 12 or 13 or 14 customers, measurable, you know, from the convention. You wouldn't know it that day, but over the course of the next 4 to 8 weeks, you would. Does that sound like the kind of conversion you guys are going to get, 12 or 14 new customers?
No,
I
think I'll get 10 or so. Monty can probably get 4 or 5, and Bailey got another 4 or 5, and maybe more. And I'm thinking Carl probably got the same in the same
percentage. He's not in business yet, and he's got 10 or so, we think.
10 for Carl? Holy cow, that's awesome.
We hadn't really had contact with him.
This is Jim Scott. I got two customers off of their efforts as well, turns out.
Oh, good job.
So
I just did quick math. That's 30 customers.
Joff, have you sent him the bill yet?
No, I thought you'd send it to him.
I'm waiting on it.
Okay, well, those results are higher than what we even noticed here, so you guys must be great at converting these conversations to customers. That's awesome. So it's worth every penny. I mean, if you spend $3,700, divide it four ways, and we're looking at potentially 30 customers here plus $2,300 in billing already, it's just like a no-brainer. We felt like it was a no-brainer here in Anaheim, but you just never know the different shows. I did one with a franchise owner, Ron Kurth, down in Houston 1 year, many, many years ago, and we got customers from that show. And then unlike our convention here at noon, they do a break, and then everybody's walking around with a Coors Light or a Bud Light. So it was that Houston show was kind of got fun after noon, but we converted customers there too. So it seems like they're worth every penny, even though they seem very expensive on the front end. If you get even one other person to do it with you, you divide the cost by two, and then you guys divide it by three or four. What about the last chance CE meeting? How much was that to attend? Was that a similar price point?
It was $900. And I don't know why they ran this one. They had the longest hours I've ever run. It was Friday at 7 in the morning till 6, Saturday 7 in the morning to 5:30, and then Sunday from 7 to 3. But what was neat about this CE event is they could pick different things they'd want to learn. So every day I had a different batch of dentists. So each day I had like 70 different dentists, and then the next day would change over to different ones again. And so that's what really worked good with that one. And Hendon was a similar way. We saw a different crowd every day. And the summer show we do with the GDA, that's their convention, we see the same people the whole time we're doing that one. But those two were real nice when they change over, get another opportunity to talk to people.
So for that night, you said $900 for that one?
Yes.
So for $900, you got 10 to 12 customers and Monty got 4 to 6?
Yes. So
wow.
That was a really good one.
The other thing Joff and I feel about, especially with the GDA, and I think some to him, but the GDA especially, I don't know that now we get as many customers out of it. We do get some, but we think that even our customers respect it, that we're there and sort of lock in our relationship with them,
mm-hmm.
add legitimacy to us. So.
When you said, Monty, that you were, and I'm not trying to make this the Joff and Monty show, guys, so if anyone else wants to chime in, please do. But Monty, you were saying that because you're down in that new area now in southern Georgia and Jacksonville, you're obviously having to go out and market. Is it to the point now where you can just walk in unannounced and smile and, you know, hand off some information? Or what's the response out in the field right now?
It's good. I still have like one or two offices that still have their doors locked and you have to call in, but only one or two out of the however many I've called on. And it's getting where I can walk in, because I would rather not wear a mask because I'd like them to see me, but a lot of them I don't even have to wear masks anymore. But in fact, some I walk in and nobody's got a mask on, so I take it off and so I can talk to them. And so it's loosening up some. It's funny, of course, out in the little towns of Georgia, nobody's hardly wearing a mask. You get to Savannah and Jacksonville, it's different, you know, everybody's wearing a mask and they got signs up. But most of them have taken, all during COVID, they had a sign up, must wear a mask to come in. And most of them, I'd say 60, 70% have taken that off their door.
Okay, so it's finally getting back to normal. You can walk in, you can smile at the staff, they smile back, and you kind of create mm-hmm. that immediate connection.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I think that's a great answer, because I think that's one thing that everybody that couldn't, you know, that stopped marketing door-to-door and maybe just did it through the mail or phone calls over the last year and a half or so were waiting for. Kind of that opening back up to normalcy.
Yeah.
I get it.
I mean, I do wear a mask in out of respect for them most of the time, but, you know, I can take it off sometimes. And there's some, like I said, I just don't wear it in at all. But, you know, because I do respect that some of them are, you know, still.
Hey, Dave, well, this is Jared.
Yeah, Jared. Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to mention that, I'm going back. I love the convention idea. I'm going to look into that here in Missouri. I've got Patterson at every office almost in here in Springfield, and it doesn't seem like they laid off anybody. I don't know if anybody else has Patterson that they've got to deal with. I've got them from my back doorstep. It's like 1.4 miles to their office. So I've got them everywhere.
And
but one thing
have
I can say, they didn't.
Go ahead.
They didn't do Hinman, just so you know. And the salesman, we have a salesman that does handpiece repair that's Patterson here in Georgia. And he came himself, but they didn't even take the time to do a booth.
Okay.
So they're not in Georgia. I know, obviously, they'd be big in Minnesota. That's where they're headquartered. And then probably have some strongholds around the country. But you should still be able to beat them, luckily, on your turnaround time and your customer service and your pricing. So I know
absolutely. I've had a lot of customers that are forced by their corporate entity to use Patterson, and they've fought tooth and nail to come back to me because the repairs are so much more solid.
So there's that, and it's more affordable. But they've got something with their warranty that they offer everybody and some kind of package. I don't know. I'd like to know how to do that.
What's the warranty that they're offering?
It's actually shorter than my warranty, but they are offering a 15% discount with it or something. Anyway, it comes to just a few dollars under my price, but it's enough for the corporate office, who has, you know, whoever knows how many offices, to want to go with that, save that $2 or whatever.
Heavy. I know we always get in this discussion. In fact, it was the next topic I wanted to talk about was pricing. But if $2 is enough to make or break a customer, what kind of price point would you like? But you wouldn't consider offering a big office like that $2 off. Is that where the rub is with those customers, Jared?
No, I would. I mean, I would give them $2 off for sure. It's. You know, it's somebody that's making this decision in an office in another state somewhere, you know. It's like a corporate entity. Heartland is one of them. And now recently they've moved over to – they've got to deal with Shine, and I'm not sure what that is. But they insist on all of their offices using that repair service. So they're shipping them all the way out to, you know, somewhere else. These people have to wait
California.
For their handkeys.
They do those repairs here out in California, and I do know that for a fact, Heartland. But in talking to Tim Ropechan, who I think you've met at the dental conventions for us, he's been a speaker. You know, obviously, he manages that repair division. Yeah, he said their corporate made a deal with Heartland. They don't even make any money on the repair. They make their money on selling them the X-ray machines and the chairs and all the disposables. So it's a little bit of a loss leader there you're dealing with on the Heartland accounts.
Yeah,
Patterson doesn't do that. Patterson, I know for a fact, still sends stuff to the manufacturer. So they charge a boatload for their repair. I'm wondering what kind of price point you're having to compete with there.
Yeah, I think they're converting people over to just buying these cheap, you know, Taiwanese handpieces. Instead of going for Stars or Cavos or something.
Right, which
Jared,
is what you probably notice
are
in the other ones. Yeah, John?
And Jared, I run into the same thing. I've lost a couple of Heartland customers for that same reason. And more of my offices here are going to DSOs. They're retiring or selling out, and that is always a struggle.
I would consider. Have you done the dental shows yet, John?
No, they're having one at the end of the month here, and the attendance has always been very low, and it's also extremely expensive. And it's only Kansas City Metro; it's not a statewide, unfortunately, because they have one here, they have one in St. Louis. I think they may also have something going on in Springfield. But they're very regional, so it's hard to split that cost with anybody. In my past life, I've always done well with shows.
Mm-hmm.
And others, you know, we're still running into locked offices and people don't have time. And to Jared's point, a lot of these offices are going to what I call throwaway handpieces. It breaks, they throw it in the trash, they get another one.
Yeah, we definitely run into that here, too, in California. We try and convert them over to overhaul and let them know that, you know, the turbine we put in, it's a lot better than the one that it started with. So we're actually improving the quality of the handpiece, so it's worth keeping. And then our rep was trying to get them with the environmental impact they're making by just throwing these metal handpieces in the trash every time one can be repaired. He kind of went with that angle. He did get a couple of kind of bigger customers that were doing that. And now we're putting, you know, it's, you know, kind of the economy turbine, but still our economy turbines are way better than what the heck Taiwan was putting in it. And so there is some potential there for that,
sure.
Potentially, John.
That's a good angle. There's
he
no
was
question.
Working the environmental impact angle, and he was kind of working for him here and there. Something to think about, for sure.
Again, you know, that works if you have the right. Unfortunately, what I've found is a lot of these dentists, they're kind of removed. They're an employee, so they're not as vested as the doc that's got his name on the door, which is what we tend to do better with,
mm-hmm.
is the smaller rural practice.
Right.
You know, and our sales are up first quarter. Second quarter's looking a little iffy, but that's typically slow for us.
Mm-hmm.
But we do better kind of going where others aren't, meaning if we can get out into those rural areas, which is a time suck, no question, to get out there and make the calls, but we do better in those areas.
Yeah, I think we've noticed that in the Midwest especially, that, you know, the Tony Davises and the other folks that used to be in, you know, all the Midwestern towns would go into these little three-doctor, three-dentist towns, and they'd always walk away with one or two of them.
That's been our experience as well.
Okay.
Hey, David, it's John Sisti.
Yeah, John.
So I was listening to Joff and Monty and those guys. A couple things I tried was there's a, where I live in, you know, the Philly suburbs, it's Bucks and Montgomery County Dental Society.
Uh-huh.
And they have a bunch of CE courses, but they also have a pretty fancy newsletter they send out six times a year. And I bought a half-page ad in their magazine. It cost me $900. But it was something I never tried, and I figured I'd give it a try. And it was basically, you know, send us one, get one at 50% off, or I'll give you a buy one, get one free. So it's been, I guess, 4 months. I've gotten two customers so far. I thought it would be better, but one of the customers sent me seven hand pieces, and one of them sent me a W&H implant. So I guess I'm slightly ahead on recouping my money, and going forward, you know, hopefully those customers will stay. One of them that gave me the seven hand pieces was extremely happy. And anything else that I get on top of that, I guess will just be, you know, icing on the cake. But at least I more than recoup my expense for that magazine. But that was something new for me to try this year.
Excellent. I'm glad that worked for you. I know Alex Igdalski did an ad in, it was a Philadelphia dental magazine. And he said he didn't, this was years ago, this is probably 10 years ago, he said he didn't have one response. So he was, maybe he didn't do a good job with the ad. I thought it looked good and professional, but he had some struggles with that. But you've already got two customers. That's well worth it, especially if you keep even one of them, right?
Yeah, if I get one, I figured if I get one or two customers, it'll be worth it. And again, the one gave me seven Midwest Tradition levers, so I did one for free, and I gave her 10% off on two of the other ones. And they were very happy, and she said, you know, I'll recommend you to some of my friends. The other thing that I've been doing, and I've probably been doing this for about 2 months, maybe three, and I haven't gotten any referrals yet, but I made up a 4x5, like a postcard size, thing that I had done at Vistaprint, and again, it's still kind of new. So, but it was basically, it said, you know, refer a friend or a dental practice, and you get a $50 Amazon gift card, and your dentist friend will get a $100 discount on a high speed handpiece. So that's going in every one of my boxes that goes out, and I'm hoping that'll pay some dividends down the road.
So, John, your discount, you give me a $50 Amazon card, and the referring dentist gets $100?
The referring dentist gets a $100 discount on a high-speed handpiece. So I looked at it this way. What is the cost of a customer acquisition, And you know, it's if I could get a if I could go out and someone said give me $150 and I'll get you five dentists at $150 a piece, I'd be writing checks all day long.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good ask. That's a good idea.
You know, and the thing is, I wanted it. Probably most people in a dental office that open that box, it may be the front desk, it may be a hygienist, it's probably not the doctor. And if they open a card and if they look at that card and it says, hey, get a $50 gift, Amazon gift card, you know, the hygienist or this one, the office manager, they have friends. Maybe they'll, you know, pass that on to a friend and say, hey, this guy's going to give you a $100 discount and I'm going to get a gift card. So I wanted to make it attractive to, you know, I think $50 is enough to hopefully entice somebody to go out and ask a friend, you know, you want to try this guy out, you're going to get a discount.
How do you manage that? How do you know who to send the card to? You know, what are the
mechanics? Well, it's got all my, you know, information, name, address, phone number, website, blah, blah. And on the back side of the card, the referring person, it says, you know, name of referrer, phone number. So they put and submit this card with the new order. So they have to put their name and phone number on it. And, you know, they give it to their dental friend or whatever, but before they do it, it says on the back, put your name and number on here. So if I get it back with a name and a phone number, I'm going to call them and say, hey, you know, thanks for the referral. And where do you want me to send you your gift card?
Hey, John, can you shoot a copy of that to David? Maybe David, you can send it out to everybody. It's a good idea.
Sure. Yeah. Where do you want me to send it? Send it to David?
Yeah, I'll send it out to everybody today. If you, at some point you can forward that to me.
Yeah, I can forward it to you.
Yeah, awesome. So real quick question, because maybe I missed something there. So this box that's going out is going out to a non-customer, correct?
No, this box is going out to every one of my customers. With every handpiece I repair, I put this postcard size thing in there, and it says refer a friend or dental practice and receive a $50 Amazon gift card. You know, I like to think it was pretty, you know, give this to a dental professional, we receive an Amazon gift card upon receipt of their first order. New customer gets $100 off a high-speed handpiece repair.
Okay,
and it's got,
so,
you know, all this cannot be combined with any other offers, one per customer, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Contingent upon you receiving a repair from that referral doctor.
Right. It's new customers only.
Okay, perfect.
So if I get one from, you know, an existing customer, you know, they give it to someone and they say, well, we already use this guy. But yeah, I'll send it to you. I thought it turned out pretty nicely.
Okay, awesome.
So what have we done? That I do go, I've been trying to go knock on some doors. Everybody here in the Philadelphia suburbs and Philly, you still have to wear a mask. And I'm going to say about 35% of them still have signs on the door that say, please call from your car.
Yeah. Same here in Kansas City, by the way.
You know, everybody's got to wear a mask. And again, like I said, I'm probably saying 35%, you know, please call. But the ones where I have gone to drop stuff off or I've gone around and I've called the office, say, hey, you know, I have some literature to drop off. Is it okay if I come in? Everybody has said, okay, come on in. You know, so I haven't gotten anybody that said, if you're not a patient, you know, you don't come in.
Okay. That's an improvement.
So it's an improvement. It's getting better. So that's the, you know, the other thing I've been doing is I've talked to some other folks about this. Twice a month I send out, it's about 3,000 email addresses I have for my territory. There's about 3,200 dentists. 3,000 dentists in a territory. Twice a month, I send out an email blitz through this, you know, one of these email marketing websites called, the one I use is called Mail Munch. And it's worked, you know, there'll be 2 or 3 months, nothing happens, and then next month I might get two or three inquiries. So, you know, I think it's one of those things you just got to keep sending it out. You know, hey, buy one, get one free. Stop paying for high-speed repairs. You know, I could change the subject line in the email through this, you know, website. I guess some of you folks, I talked to one or two guys, so they may have used Constant Contact or MailChimp or this one or that one. But I think it's cost me like $50 a month, but, you know, I can go in there, edit my ad real quick, and then just hit send, and then 10 minutes later, 3,000 emails have gone out. So that's a fairly inexpensive way for me to, you know, try and do some, at least get stuff out in the email world.
And that whole list is 3,000 dentists?
Yes.
Holy cow. Well, I think most people wouldn't be having to send maybe Scott Marks has that many, but most people probably quite a bit less. So I'm sure the cost goes down if you have
the
less.
The cost
emails,
goes
right?
down, with, but I think 50 a month is probably the least expensive program
you
get.
Oh, that's a lower tier. Okay.
Yeah,
that's
if you right. went to like 10,000 names, maybe it's, you know, $200. I don't know. But it's not very expensive. And you do get a report back once the emails are out there, like a day or two later, you get some basic metrics that say this many were opened, this many were bounced, which means under bad, you know, it was a bad email address. How many people unsubscribed. So you get about six or seven basic measurements or metrics. And if you want some more fancy, complicated stuff, it's more money. But I don't need to see anything more than that. I'm just curious how many people open it. And it's usually about 10%. And so 300 people might open it and click on it and at least open it. And then a person I know that does this for a living that's kind of an expert at it said if 10 to 12% open and look at the email, that's pretty good. That's about, you know, that's considered pretty high rate of somebody clicking on an email that, you know, hits their mailbox.
Yeah, I like the results. I know we used to use Constant Contact here, and I think some guys still do, and it gives you all those results, which is good to track. But it was cheap, too. I think it was $15 to $30, depending on the tier you were in.
Right, so that's, you know, I've gotten probably a dozen customers from it.
So those referral postcards, just going back real quick, on you said you just started that a couple of months ago?
About 2 months ago.
Okay, so you'll get results here over the next several months.
I'm hoping after the course of 6 months or, you know, a year, let's get them out there and let's see what happens. I mean, it was to print up, I don't know, I have 500 or 1,000 cards. It was like $75, so it wasn't a big investment. But I'm, you know, just figuring who's opening this box and how can I grab their attention to maybe get a referral.
I liked it.
Awesome.
Hey, David.
Yeah.
This is Monty. I wanted to mention about these DSOs. I know
yeah.
there's some bigger ones. There's also a lot in Georgia, and down here there's a lot popping up that are smaller. And actually, I got one of them at the Georgia Dental Association last year. A lot of them have booths at shows because they're recruiting dentists or, you know, wanting dentists to talk to them. So I went over and talked to them one at the GDA last year, and they're a South Georgia DSO mainly, although they've expanded now. When I got them, they had 18 offices, and I've worked for about 7 or 8 so far. They're supposedly, in fact, they were at the Hinman, and I went over and talked to the owner and said, look, he said, you know, I'm hearing really good things about you. And I said, well, good, get the rest of them to convert to using me. So anyway, but since that 18, last year they had 18 in July last year. Now they have 60 offices.
Wow.
And they actually have asked me for no concession. The only thing the guy said at the thing, he said, we just love your turnaround time. So don't give up on the, you know, Heartland, I think, is a lost cause, but of course I don't know how many offices they have, but these little ones, Of course, this one gets to $200 or $300. They might, I might not can handle them. But anyway, they're these shows, and there's a lot of little ones now. There was another one I ran into at Hinman that one of my old assistants in Atlanta is going to work with, and she's going to see if how she can help me get in there too.
That's great to hear. I know that some of the smaller DSOs where they're just starting out, where they've got 7 or 8 or 10 offices, I hear all the time from you guys that you've got them. So now all of a sudden you went from having one customer or two to having 8 or 10.
Mm-hmm.
So they're still certainly worth walking into and finding out who makes the decisions for the whole DSO that might be 8 or 10 or 18 offices, and getting with them and potentially getting that many offices with one sales.
Yeah, if you do a show, look at the list and figure if you can fill them out, figure out who they are and go by and talk to them.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Hopefully it helps out John, because John was telling me that in the Kansas City area, a lot of the DSOs are kind of snapping up offices. Hopefully they're not all hard ones, because that's a tough
one. They're small DSOs. They're not very large, and a lot of them are pretty unorganized.
Yeah.
Which could be an opportunity, but so far it's been more problematic than anything else.
Well,
that would definitely be an opportunity.
Yeah. I think that's one thing about this one. They haven't converted all of them because they are disorganized. But I did talk to the owner, and he said, look, of course he won't forget. But he said, next board meeting, I'm going to bring this up. And this isn't marketing, but I think Joff agrees with me. Does everybody know that? Whoever uses Dental USA, that they have changed hands or changed ownership?
I know Phil was using them. I know Scott at one point was using them for the sharpening and retipping money.
Yeah, I use them. I don't know if they changed hands, but they just put in that 50-cent sorting charge.
Yeah, they did.
They did change hands, and here's the reason I brought it up is I tried a retipping service, sharpening retipping early on with somebody and had bad luck. So I'm just asking, if anybody starts having problems with the quality of their work, please let us all know so we're not. I don't think we will. I'm not saying we will, but I don't want to find out about it. You know, so I'd appreciate everybody keeping an eye on that.
Well, now that they're going to start upcharging for the sorting fee, I'd be interested in finding someone else anyhow.
Well, I can tell you that they're not very good quality. I've tried them, and they're not good quality. So quality's – and the sorting fee, y'all talk to them. Sorting fee isn't what it sounded like. Joff, are you there?
I'm here. I can tell you what they told me, because I called them on the phone and spoke to, I think, Rebecca about it. And she basically said, you know, they want all the curettes and scalers in one bundle, and if you got explorers or probes, they got to be in another bundle. They don't want stuff all mixed up in a bag. And I said to her, okay, well, here's my concern. I get these instruments in a sealed autoclave bag that are sterilized. I now have to open the bag and unsort them, which is fine, but when I give them back to you, they're no longer in a sterilized sealed bag. They're going to be in a bag that's open, and maybe some of them put in another bag that, you know, maybe I got a handpiece in. And are you going to be okay with that? Because when COVID hit, they were, you know, adamant, and I understand, they said if they're not in a sealed, completely sealed sterilization bag, you can't send them in. And she told me that would be okay. I said, because I don't have another way to sort them. And she said, well, the best thing is to ask all your customers to keep them separate. But I get a bunch of customers that send me, you know, what they put in a whole kit in a bag. So, you know, I guess in one of those sterilization trays, they got an explorer, a probe, a couple curettes, and you know, that makes up a complete kit. So they put that entire set of instruments in a bag, and maybe 3, 4, 5 of those bags, and they want them sent back that way so they can put them back in the tray. I got to open up the bags now. That's all.
I talked to Jamie, who's been there the whole time.
Yep.
And if you look at their thing, it actually says their new form. It's basically sorting them. They had some miscommunication at first, I think. The sorting is basically if you want them retipped or sharpened and or retipped, or if you want to change them to different things. That's the way I'm going to treat it. I haven't been charged a sorting fee yet. So I don't think it's as bad as that. I think the girl you talked to is maybe one of the new ones, because I had one to talk to the other day, and she had.
Yeah, you know, I talked to Janie, and I talked to Becky. I think those are the two most experienced ones.
Becky is gone. Anyway. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Becky's so, gone. All right, so I'm going to call back and ask for talk to Janie, because
well,
she's
Janie's
pretty on the ball,
on,
I think.
Janie's going or has gone on maternity leave.
Okay.
So, yeah, let's take a step back here on the retipping, and I don't want to sound like a defender of Dental USA, but I've been working with them for over 10 years, and even if they're charging a little more for sorting and all that, to me it's like free money. I could charge a little more on my end if I need to overcome that, but it's I don't have to do anything except, you know, put two or three in a package and label them and send them over to them, and then I get it back and, you know, make, you know, in some cases a double, you know, double markup on them. So that part of it, I wouldn't be too short-sighted about, you know, I wouldn't even take the time to resort. I would try to train my customers to sort it, but I wouldn't, you know,
yeah.
I wouldn't waste too much time with that. But, yeah, so they had a lot of turnover probably in the last 6 months, and there was definitely noticeable service. Things were done a little differently. You know, I would normally send four or five customers in one bundle, and I was getting one ship back at a time with the 12. I'm like, whoa, you know, I don't want you to hold them for 10 days, but wait till, you know. So there's some learning curve things that they've gotten straightened out. And I haven't heard of the head honcho, John, like the ownership changing. I just know they've had a lot of turnover with the staff. And like I said, yeah, there definitely were some kinks, and I wouldn't say we're 100% back, but I was a little bit nervous, or I am nervous, if Janie is going to be out for 3 months or so on maternity leave. But the last couple weeks, though, my stuff has been pretty much on point, so I'm cautiously optimistic. So, yeah, I'd be curious about – I haven't seen any quality control outside of, you know, every once in a while a customer will call and say, I requested this and got that. And, of course, you just, okay, you know, just send it back. We'll get it made the way you want it. But I haven't seen where, like, the quality of this tip is poor or, you know. So,
yeah.
You know,
and
that would be new to me. Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, this is Susan Tucker, Bailey's wife. He's noticed in the past, just recently, that, you know, we've sent 30, 40 instruments in for retipping and or sharpening. And of those, maybe 25 or 30 instruments, all come back re-tipped versus sharpened, with the exception of maybe three. So he just found that to be a little odd that some
I
of them
agree
weren't
with that.
Sharpened,
I've,
but rather re-tipped.
I have had
majority.
That conversation with them before, and,
yeah.
You know, whether it's their company line is if an office has one of their own sharpening stones, and once any office is doing any in-between sharpening on their own, they kind of have done enough to, what's the right way to say, not necessarily taking too much meat off the bone, but they've made it where they can't make it back to the original specs any longer. So
mm-hmm.
I've explained that to offices, and you can always just take a $20 off or do something to offset that if you think it's going to be an issue with the customer. But yeah, I agree. I have seen that with some of my customers that only want sharpening, or then they get a quote for, you know, the majority of them needing retipping, and that's was their explanation for why.
Yeah, Scott, I have had the same thing. I do a pretty decent amount of instruments here, and yeah, they've called me and said, look, somebody, you know, hacked these up. They must have tried to sharpen them themselves, because we can tell by looking at them under a loop that, you know, they're definitely not something we did.
Correct.
You know, and I've gone back to the office and said, look, just, you know, as have you guys try to sharpen these yourselves. It's fine if you are. Just be careful that, you know, we probably can't resharpen them again once you do it if you don't have the proper equipment.
Correct.
And they were all pretty under. There's probably only about three or four of them, and they were pretty understanding. But
and what do the new Scalar or Curette, you know, most of them like the Hugh Frady or one of the name brands, a brand new instrument is like, I don't know, $35 to $50 depending on what specials. So even if they can't get it sharpened for, you know, under $4, whatever it is for a double ended, and they're spending seven something to get a like new, I don't know. It again, you can always discount if you have that one customer who's just not gonna, if that's gonna really rub them the wrong way, or they're gonna. But it's such a huge savings for the customer in general. So that's my take on that. But I'll quiet down.
I agree. My only problem was I don't want us to, you know, I don't want to jump up and there's a quality problem and we're, you know, I don't, I'm building my sharpening business and it might take me a while.
I haven't seen quality problems more so than a few logistical and, you know, missorting or things like that, which was due to the turnover. And I can't say that that's going to be 100% gone in the short term, but I think that they're rectifying that.
Well, just so you know, Janie did tell me they had changed, how did she say, management or something like that. But, and they did call me yesterday and thought they had lost 34 of my instruments. Of course, they found them. So. They,
ouch.
Yeah,
well, I got a funnier one. I had a customer, not really that funny, but it's probably like 5 months ago, no sign of it. It was sent with other customers' orders, so I know they got the packet. Like, we got back, actually, no, that's a different one. There was two orders in the package that they just disappeared. We had a tracking and all that, and we ended up doing the replacement to the customer. We just got them new instruments and charged them with the retipping, so we didn't, you know, we kind of came close to breaking even on that. So I get a call several months later, like probably like last month, and they want to open up a new toner cartridge for their printer, and our instruments were in that package. I guess the customer, we must have repackaged it, or I don't know. I was trying to do logic. Is that the exact same toner that they use that they, like, wouldn't have seen a UPS label on it? But anyway, that was the only snafu I've had with the lost instruments, but they ended up finding it after we replaced it, which doesn't help. But
but I'm
well, guys, I think I'm gonna stop the recording because we're past the, you know, the heart of what we were talking about, which was the marketing.
Dave,
but
you started the retipping talk. You just got the part started.
Hey, Dave, can you hear me?
Well, after an hour, it won't down. I can't download it anymore. So hold on just a second here.
Dave, can you hear me?